This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here on a day that is kind of evolving, of course. We had lots of sun earlier. We've still got some sun, but getting cloudier, and you tell me the wind is picking up.
The wind is picking up.
And to the north, of course, where things are expected to be a lot bigger of a deal. In fact, one of my professional friends who's a storm chaser already doing some thunderstorm chasing in Portland right now as they track things around that area. The Oregon Office of Emergency Management reminding folks to be ready if they're headed. Really, the storm looks like the kind of the Douglas-Lane County line, give or take, from there north is where the severe thunderstorm possibility lies. Also, a very small chance, but a chance which is unusual for a tornado, etc. That's going out on all the weather warnings today. Taking it pretty seriously up there. Here, we're just expected to get some wind, but you never know. These things can shift. 20-mile-an-hour winds expected tonight, about 25 miles an hour tomorrow.
Well, that's good enough, as long as some rain comes with it.
And let's see, we do have, might get a quarter inch of rain tomorrow.
Woo.
Maybe a half inch tomorrow night.
Woo.
And then things subside a bit.
All right, better mow your lawn quick.
actually, I had my lawn mowed for me today.
Woo.
Well, we've been talking on the morning report over the last few days, Joey Keeran giving me a hard time about the fact that I'd got out and done a marathon and I'd been working and all that, but I had mowed the lawn. And he said, well, that is walking. But so Monday I went out to mow the lawn. The lawnmower wouldn't start.
Well, shoot.
And it's, I hadn't used it since winter. It's something on the pole. It's not the engine. So I've got to take it in. Don't have time to do that till the weekend. It was getting higher and luckily found a high school student who actually works.
Well,
and I know that seems like it's a hard one to find because I did a lot of looking, but and others did looking for me. But anyway, it's mowed. It looks great. Just paid him a few minutes ago, and I don't have to do it.
That sounds like an oxymoron.
What?
Well, you said earlier.
Working high school student?
Yeah, well, that too.
Oh. No, it is surprisingly hard to find people to do that these days.
I know. I fought it for 50 years, hiring good people that would actually show up and work.
Yeah, novel concept. All right, but that let's take it as a whole other direction. You've got a epiphany of papers there to cover.
Epiphany, yeah. I got epiphany papers here, and this is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and I hope you're listening. And if you have some questions, any question is fair game, is, as long as it's your yard, garden, landscape, that kind of thing. And the number to call is 673-4464. And we'll get you right on. You can ask your question, and I will give you a great answer. So hang on to your hats. So I wrote this a little bit earlier today at my house where there were no clouds, just warm sun, and I said, opened it up with, spring has finally come and the sun is shining brightly. Well, I don't know about right now here in Roseburg at the radio station, it wasn't, but I was happy to see the rainfall, but the creeks are running full and the rivers look normal, I guess, for this time of year. I believe our summer will be beautiful and bountiful, and the growth from whatever we plant in our gardens and our yards will be great. So I don't see that we're going into a drought scenario at all. And the last three water years have been below normal, obviously. But I believe April will be very green and lush with new growth, and that's what I'm counting on. I like that. Green is prettier than brown. That's my personal opinion. But this type of weather pattern prolongs the blooming time and promotes good growth to all plants. So, we got the best of both worlds there. And the last 3 years have been tough on native plants because of heat and the water table being lower than normal. And it seems we always have a little rain in April and maybe a little bit in May. So plants will have good growth for another few months at least. And it just depends on what June, July, and August turn into. They're not my favorite months, but because of the heat, and you know, when you work with living things all the time, you have to be on your toes and making sure that they're watered and taken care of, and no critters are eating them. So it's the way it is. But our vegetable gardens are still wet at this point, so planting vegetables will be somewhat delayed. I don't know how long, but not much. And when planting seeds, the soil should be damp but not soaked. A lot of times we dig in and the top looks good, and you dig down there about 3 or 4 inches, and oh my gosh, it's still saturated. So I wouldn't plant any of those seeds or any of the other things into saturated soil. Make sure that your drainage is up to snuff and all that, and then go ahead and plant. But if it's, like I say, if it's too wet, the seeds may rot, so don't get anxious with your planting on that respect. You know, I've planted seeds as late as July and still had a good product in September on what I planted. So, but if it's, like I say, if it's too wet now and you plant the seeds, they may rot. So don't jump up and down and yell at the dirt. It's not going to help you at all. And you don't want to till the soil while it is too wet. You're going to just make a mess, and it's not going to do a good job. And but if it's damp, you're okay, but not soaked. Just you just have to stick your hand in a couple places, or take a shovel and take out a scoop and actually squeeze the soil. And if water drains out of it while you're squeezing, you know you're too wet. So just keep that in the back of your head at all times. But a good indicator is to watch the commercial farmers. And when they start their plowing and all that, you know that the soil is ready. And I'm referring to Cruz Farms mainly because you can see most of his acreage from the road as you drive by. But there are some other farms and places out there that they all get on at about the same time. You know, the soil, if it's too wet, it's going to mess it up, and they're going to have to redo it. So they just wait and wait and wait until the soil is just right, and then they get in. And when you see them do that, that's your key. Hey, it's right. Let's get her done. But potted plants can be planted now, and you won't have any root problems and very little water. It doesn't matter. You don't want to water if the soil is damp. And just wait till it feels a little dry before you water. And then water sparingly. Just keep your eye on the weather systems. And if Kyle predicts that we're going to have an inch of rain, just you can hold off for a while. You don't have to run up that the water bill at your house. But as we enter into April, there are some warmer days and fewer rainstorms. And this morning at my home, when I was writing the notes for my show today, the sun was bright. It was shiny. It was like 78 degrees, for crying out loud. And I thought, man, this is perfect. Kyle got it right for once. All right.
For once.
For once. he knows I'm just joking. So, but as we enter into April, there are, like I say, warmer days and fewer rainstorms. And so be patient about establishing your vegetable garden. It'll come, and the time will be right, and you'll know it. And because I speak from experience in having planted gardens that were, it was too early to plant, and consequently it was the things that did come up were kind of anemic looking and didn't grow well. And then when the sun finally popped out, they were beyond repair, and I had to replant. But that's the way it goes. I was anxious to get those things in. But there are many projects in your yard you can be doing in April for sure. A big one is to create a weed-free landscape. That means picking the weeds, spraying the weeds, hoeing the weeds, whatever way you want to eliminate them. That's a good one to do. You want to do it now, because 3 weeks from now, if you don't do it, those weeds are going to be a foot and a half tall, and then it's going to be a real, real problem. So stay on top of it, you know, early on, and you'll be able to breathe easier when you go to plant your garden, whenever that might be. So keep on top of those weeds and in the planter beds. And once the basic place that you're going to plant or re-landscape, you know, and cleanup is all done, it really gets easier. You know, you add mulch where it's needed and maybe some weed killer. And it doesn't stop all the weed growth, but it keeps things manageable. And as long as it's manageable, you're good to go. And our prime planting season for shrubs and trees is now, because they've got a good root system established, and they can go in the ground provided you dig a big enough hole, put some good soil in there with it, and surround that root system. They'll take right off. So take advantage of the easy digging. You'll be okay. And if you're planting large shrubs or trees, a large hole is needed. That's the bigger the hole, the better, the more good potting soil you can put in. And it's best for the initial growth that happens very, very quickly. And oversize that planting hole so there's no room for the plant mix, such as mulch, mixed with the topsoil. And this will promote good drainage and fast growth. So you're killing two birds with one stone, but don't kill the birds, they're okay. And remember, a shade tree needs room to grow. So don't plant too close to structures, you know, like a house, a garage, a fence, a driveway, or your neighbor's house. You know, you don't want to, you know, they look, the trees look really cute when you first put them in there, you know, 8-10 feet tall. Oh, it looks good, and not a whole bunch of branches on it. But, you know, 10 years down the road when they're in your neighbor's rain gutter, he or she will not be appreciative of your tree within 20 feet of his house. So keep that in mind. Give your neighbor room. So remember, no, not near a house, not near a garage, not near a fence, not near your neighbor's house. So, and when many people, you know, they're buying a shade tree, they don't realize sometimes how large that will be in about, oh, say 5-10 years. So not only will it grow tall, but it's going to spread out as well. It just doesn't grow in one direction. Wherever there's a branch and a bud, it grows in all those directions. So that's what's necessary. And by the way, I haven't had a call yet, so if you want to call, 673-4464, ask your question, and we'll get you right on and do the thing with you, okay? Don't hesitate. It's all right. You won't get, what do you call that in radio parlance? You won't get cut off. What's the?
Cut off.
Oh, okay, cut off. he's kind of a smart aleck with me. He's never really nice, but that's okay. But
cut off.
Bye. See you next week. But if you plant a tree, you have to envision what's going to look like in 5-10 years. So you don't want it within, 10 feet of the house, for crying out loud, or 5 feet from your neighbor's fence or his house. And you want to give it plenty of room so it has the maximum capacity to spread out and be healthy. And because not only is it going to grow tall, it's going to spread as well, unless you get a columnar type tree. Columnar means it grows in a tight column, like like a candle. How's that? It's straight up and down. But always go and ask professionals about growth. How does this thing grow? What does it do? And always go to like a nursery that knows their plants. You know, when I was in the nursery business for all those years, folks come in and, trees are my favorite. I like all shrubs and plants and all that, but trees are my absolute favorite. And they're looking for a shade tree. And I would ask them questions like, well, how much room do you have to spare? And how close to any structure are you planning on planting that? And they'll give me that information to the best of their knowledge, and then I'll explain to them, well, that's too close to that particular structure, because in 10 years, that tree, the top spread of the canopy could be 25 feet across, and it's going to interfere with your rain gutter, your roof, and maybe your patio or whatever. So give it plenty of room, because the trees, when they have that room, they grow well. They're well balanced on all sides. and we're going to take a break. I hear the sound.
We are back in a moment. 673-4464. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show at 421 from News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon to you, 423. We're expecting showers tonight down to 49. Winds up to about 20 miles an hour. Chance of showers tomorrow and windy conditions. But again, to the north, severe storm warnings up in the Willamette Valley. And could get a bit dicey up there, so keep that in mind. We are on the edge of it and shouldn't have any big things, as a weather issue. But, you know, even 20-mile-an-hour winds, the one thing we could have following our 10-day-ago flood event is some of the weekend infrastructure. You know, the tree that didn't blow over last time but is really weak.
And
you can't always tell that, can you?
No, you can't.
So, you know, you may have issues like that. So that doesn't mean we're going to skate out of this with nothing. So keep that in mind.
But if you got a tree that's, you know, been in for 20 years and is kind of leaning to the left, you might think, there's something wrong with that tree. It never leaned that way before. Keep your eye on it.
Yeah, and don't push on it.
Yeah, don't push.
I've seen people do that before because they think, well, I'll just push on it so I know it's fine.
Yeah,
oh, it's
right.
Not fine, and there it's going, heading for the neighbors.
Oh, gosh.
What not to do.
What not to do. But, you know, when many, you know, people are out there buying a shade tree, they don't realize, again, how big that tree is going to get in like 5 to 10 years. And I've seen it many hundreds of times right here in Douglas County of folks that got this cute little tree, maple tree or oak tree, and it was like 10 feet from the patio, and which was, 15 feet from the back door of the home. And they planted it there, and I'm thinking, geez Louise, they don't understand how big that tree is going to get. And didn't the person who sold them the tree explain that to them? You know, because when I was in the nursery business, I didn't have to wait till a customer asked a question. I just told them the answer prior to them asking the question. They go, oh, yeah, I wanted to know about that. Well, now you know. Do this, and do this, and you'll be okay. But like I say, when shopping for trees, you want to do your homework and ask the professionals, supposedly that's who's running the place, about the growth. And for the most part, always go to a nursery that knows their plants. Go to an established nursery. And we used to be an established nursery way back when. And I sold it a year or so ago. And I don't know what their... And what they're doing or saying to clients that come in, but if you're out there, make sure you ask the questions. And then, like I say, in the 50 years that we owned our nursery, I always asked homeowners, how large is your yard? You know, well, it's this and it's by this and I got this. And how close are the neighbors' yards or homes? I wanted to know so I didn't give them the wrong type of tree, like a silver maple. We would give them plenty of shade, but it'd get 50, 60 feet tall in no time at all. And they're kind of since they grow so fast, their branching structure is a little bit weak. So a good windstorm could come along and blow out the top. But you can, if you know all that and you've got that information, then you can recommend the right sized tree for the customer to get. And like I say, if the so-called professional at the nursery or wherever you're buying your tree can't answer those questions, go shopping somewhere else because they have to know that. Because many people just don't know how trees grow, you know, how tall or how wide or... You know, and that is information you need to plant a shade tree that grows to 50 plus feet. It's you have to do that. So when buying trees or shrubs for your home, ask lots of questions to avoid future problems and challenges. And like over the years, like I said, I've done hundreds of landscape consultations, and the most frequent problems that I saw was overplanting. you know, people call up and say, hey, my yard's a mess, or I need some of this or some of that. And a consultation is you walk around with the client, maybe take a few notes, but you know, you go from area to area to area saying and suggesting, well, I would take those out and put something else in, or take all five of those items that are in there and only replace it with two of those items because they grow this size in no time at all, and you'll be battling the shrub or the tree in no time at all. But like I say, many people don't know how trees grow, and they just, you know, think, well, how tall is it going to be, or how wide? And that's the information you need to plant a shade tree that grows, like I say, 50 plus feet or something like that, or even bigger. So when you're buying your trees or your shrubs for your home, ask lots of questions to avoid future problems. It'll save you money in the long run, trust me. And like I said earlier, over the years, I've done hundreds of landscape consultations, and the most frequent problems that I saw was overplanting and too many shrubs in too small of an area. In other words, whenever they bought the shrubs, they didn't ask the right questions, or the proprietor didn't tell them, hey, this is how big this gets and this is how big that gets. A lot of the shrubs, they'll have a little white card there with the name of the shrubs and supposedly how big it grows and if it's fast or slow and all that. But a lot of times that information doesn't work simply because of the climatic conditions we have here locally, or the soil that client has in their yard. It might be a faster grower or a slower grower. So it's, you, like I say, give them a lot of space. Whatever you're planting, give it a lot of space. And you want to avoid future problems that way, because future problems cost a whole lot more than a tree, I'll tell you. And like I said, the most frequent problems were overplanting. So spread your stuff out. Don't buy so much that you can't fit anything else in there. And in other words, you know, they're all planted too close together and they haven't been pruned, and then the shrubs too close to structures, in other words, the homes and the fences and the driveways, just don't develop. They get ugly after a while. At first, when they're, you know, 2-3 years in the ground, they look okay. But around year five, they think, oh, man, it's grown up the side of the house, or that's grown over the side of the patio, or the neighbor's fence, and that kind of thing. You want to avoid that. It doesn't work, especially along a driveway. You know, you pull in your driveway, you go to open your car door, and for years you just open the door and get out. Well, you planted some stuff there about 2 years ago. You open the door and you knock half the plant loose and or break some of the branches, and you know, hey, I did plant that too close to the driveway. So the only things you can do really are to prune very heavily, or remove the crowded shrubs or trees and start over. But start over with some real concrete instruction and ideas before you do that. Sometimes starting over is the only viable option, and a redesign of the whole landscape that you thought you had it all together there and you weren't going to have to do any more of that stuff. Well, bingo, guess what? You're going to have to do more. So when I did consultations, or I'm still doing consultations, I start by asking a lot of questions, like, you know, I have the sense of what the homeowner's expectations are. Do you want a jungle? Do you want it sparsely planted? Do you want flowering shrubs or flowering trees, or, you know, anything along those lines? And get that information up front so that you don't waste their time and money while you walk around their yard giving them instructions and writing down lists of different types of plants that they can get and that will work in their particular situation. Excuse me. But, you know, that way the homeowner can see how many plants or shrubs and trees, whatever, are going to be planted, where they'll be planted, and how fast they grow, and what's the mature size, which can be controlled, and by pruning, etc. And when I'm finished, they can envision a nice landscape that's easy to maintain and will look good into the future. And that's all you want. You don't want to be a slave to your yard like Kyle has to. You know, he's got a way overgrown yard. It's simply way too much.
And what?
He can't take care of it. I worked in Kyle's yard years ago, and whoever planted it initially, on one side there's camellia bushes that are beautiful, but they're about 2 feet from the house, and they grow really nicely on the north side of the house, and you have to kind of keep them pruned fairly steadily, simply because they just get out of whack real quick. But are they still there, Kyle?
They are.
Well, good. I hope whoever's doing your yard now will consider what they are and what they do.
By the way, you've got a phone call.
I got a phone call. Good.
You are on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. What's your comment or question?
Hello, Mike.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good. This is Bill Stites.
Yeah.
I've got a question on a walnut tree.
Yeah.
About 6 to 8 years ago, a friend who had the biggest English walnuts I've ever seen had a bunch of sprouting trees somewhere, you know, around her major tree. I dug one up and planted it. The tree has done very well, except I never get a walnut. I Googled it, and I said sometimes it takes 6 to 7 years, but I wonder if I've got a gay tree or whatever.
Yeah, how long ago did you plant it?
I'd say 6, 7 years ago.
Uh-huh. Are there any other walnuts close to it?
No, that's the thing. I didn't know whether, yeah. Of course, how can it cross-fertilize if it doesn't flower?
Yeah. Well, do you have room for another walnut in your yard?
Yeah, I do.
Well, why don't you get another walnut, and wherever you buy it from, find out if it will pollinize your existing walnut and plant that in the, not real close. If you've got the room, put them 40 feet apart or so, and let the birds and the bees do their job.
Oh, okay, that's good advice. I'll have to try that.
Yeah, that would be easy.
That a walnut tree won't produce then, or
no? You'll be fine. It'll be good.
All right. Thanks much, Mike. Have a good summer. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Back again with more when we come back. You can call as well 673-4464. Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 439, 73 degrees. We actually still have some partly sunny conditions in the Umpqua Valley. And, of course, on the edge of the storm that's expected to impact the Willamette Valley today. But things look pretty good here right now. Again, 73 in the Umpqua Valley with our afternoon report coming at 5 o'clock.
I've lost my sound.
Well, I just keep talking. You'll be fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if somebody calls, I won't be able to hear them. Okay. Well, doing consultations. Okay. I do that more now than I have in the past. And, you know, one of the things I do, I start by asking a lot of questions of the homeowners so that I can have a sense of the homeowners' expectations. We're having, there we go. You went by it. There you go. Well, leave it alone. Get away from it. The switch is not working the way it should. Oh, but anyway, the reason for the questions are that I want to have a kind of a sense of what the homeowner's expectations are going to be. And sometimes I draw a quick sketch so the homeowner can see how many plants or shrubs or trees or wherever will be planted and where they will be planted. And I emphasize the closeness to structures and the closeness to one another to make sure that they have ample space in which to grow and look good in the long run. I tell them, well, these things grow very, very fast, or they go very, very slow. And the mature size can be controlled by pruning. But when I'm finished, then they can envision a nice landscape that is easy to maintain, and it's going to look good into the future. And as part of my service, I explain the growth of the plants, like how fast or how large the new plant's going to be for optimum beauty, and not to let them exceed X amount of height or width or anything like that, and keep them tight, make sure they're pruned at least once a year if necessary. Don't just stick them in and let them grow, because 10 years down the road, you're going, gee whiz, I'm going to have to cut those way back, and then they're going to be ugly. That's true. But I repeat my instructions till I feel that they really understand what I'm saying. And I try to give examples of, if I see a house as I'm driving to their house, if I see a house that's well taken care of and well maintained, I say, oh, yeah, three houses up on the left there, check out their front yard and see how they prune their shrubs and see how far apart their space. And when people can see that and visualize that and go, oh, yeah, now I know what they're talking about. So close for some people is not close for others. But that's what you want to do for optimum beauty, long-term optimum beauty. And I just keep repeating my instructions in different ways until I feel that they understand. When they're nodding their head up and down and they're starting to smile and their eyes aren't as big as they were when we started, I'm thinking, yeah, they're getting it. That's good. And like I say, I really emphasize the pruning and the shaping. And I do swing by later to see if they have followed my instructions. So if I'm there on a Monday, I'll wait for a couple of weeks and then swing by, just go do a drive-by and say, hell yeah, they actually did something, or oh my gosh, they didn't touch a thing. And if they're in the yard, I'll stop, say, hi, remember me? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then the first thing they'll say is, well, we're going to be getting the pruning done here in the next day or two. And I say, oh, okay, good, make sure you get it done, otherwise you're going to have a mess, otherwise it's going to be a jungle. So they usually do it the second time you catch them. some clients want to have a master plan where all the plants are named and described. And I take exact measurements and then I draw them a plan. This is a much more involved process than a walk around consultation type thing. And it takes a lot of hours because your measurements have to be correct. There's a lot of detail information that you have to include in a master plan. But all the plants are named and they're described. And like I say, I take those exact measurements and then draw the plan. And they're more expensive than a consultation because it entails, precise details and information and time. And when the drawing is finished, I present the plan and the several hours of details until they say they understand. And then I tell them, hey, you can call. You get jammed up, you can call. I'll come over, no charge, and help you, get whatever you're doing, get that straight. And like I say, it's more expensive than a consultation, but it really works out well for some people because they've had some experience working with plants, some experience in doing some landscaping. And then there's others on the other end of the spectrum that have never done anything like that, so they need very intense instruction on how to actually make things happen. And I've done things like dig a planting hole to say, well, see this shrub right here? And I dig a planting hole and say, this is how big of a hole that needs and the soil that it needs for that to grow optimally. I understand now. That's a lot more work, honey. Yeah, I know, but you can do it, Bob. when you do a master plan, it has, like I say, everything to the square inch, and, well, the square foot at least, and it's finished, and I present the plan, and take several hours on detail until they say, yeah, we got it, we understand. And it's just more expensive simply because it takes a whole lot longer. And a master plan could be $700 to $1,000. Just depends on the size of the yard and how intense the landscaping is. Where a consultant can be $70, maybe an expensive one be $100. Either way is going to work. If the client has experience in this yard and has done some landscaping, it's not a very expensive proposition. It's the brand new home with the young couple in their early 30s, late 20s, or whatever, that have never done this before. That's where the time comes in. That's where a lot of explanation comes in, and you kind of hold their hand until they get started. And I tell them, well, if you need to rent X amount of equipment, you can go here and get this, you can go this place and get this, and if you need this particular tools, here's the best place to buy those tools, so that they're well equipped when they actually start, because there's nothing more irritating to go down to a rental place and rent something, and you take it home and get it, it's heavy, and it's costing you a lot of money, and the thing is not doing the job, whether it's a walk-behind rototiller or a mower or whatever you're renting, and it's not doing the job, and you've wasted all that time and effort and energy because you really didn't know what you needed, so you bring that back and get what you really need. But the fee on landscaping and stuff covers, like I say, at least one return visit, and then some clients, they call me later to they kind of gave up and they said, can you come here and finish the project? We got it started. We've done this, this, and this, but we've still got a long way to go. So, yeah, I can do that. That's not a problem. I'll do that. And here's a little side story. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to UCC to get a degree in forestry. Yeah, and I thought, well, and my first class, they said, we'll go to room whatever, 21 or something, was map and topography drawing. And I thought, what the heck? You know, why do I have to learn this? I mean, I'm here for forestry, not to draw maps. You know, but, you know, I was not in engineering. I'm in forestry. And everything had to be in detail, of course. Well, at that time, I didn't know I'd be drawing landscape plans in the future for clients. So I spent time cruising timber for BLM, and then I was offered a job from Oregon State University in watershed management up in Blue River at the Andrews Experimental Forest. And from OSU, where I monitored 10 watersheds at the Andrews Experimental Forest in Blue River. I spent 2 years in Blue River. Great experience. I worked with scientists from all over the world. It was a real education at that point. I learned a lot about soil. I learned a lot about drainage. I learned a lot about water flow and the destruction that can wreak havoc on any landscape if we don't pay attention to it. And where we lived was right below the Blue River Dam, which was about a half a mile upriver from us, and ran right through our yard. Well, not probably 30 feet away from the house, and you know, we had a great view of it. But they controlled it; it was a controlled flow. But I went up to the dam one day, and I saw that there was landscaping, and it was landscaped. And I thought, well, okay. But I thought, man, I could do a better job than this, for crying out loud. So I researched landscape contracting, and I learned I had to take a test to get a license. Okay. And so I read the book, and I went to Eugene to take the test, and I figured, well, if I didn't pass it, I at least know what was on the test, because I'd seen the questions before, and I knew how to answer. And well, surprisingly enough, I passed with flying colors. And so here I am today, retired from 50 years of owning and building a business, landscape contracting and a nursery business, and have done well over 1,000 landscape jobs in Douglas County. And now, like I say, I just do consultations and plans. That's the fun part about all that. And my two biggest projects way back in the day were landscaping Mercy Hospital when it was first built and the Seven Feathers RV Park when it was first built. And if I could do it all over again, I would. It was a great, great opportunity. Met a lot of good people. We got a break, and we'll be back.
All right. 4:50, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Final segment of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. The afternoon report coming up at 5 o'clock. It is still 73 degrees. A little bit of wind, but still partly sunny, partly cloudy. Kind of a blend right now in the Umpqua Valley.
Well, that sounds like nice spring weather to me.
And hopefully it'll stay that way. It looks like everything is definitely to the north right now with the weather data I've been checking.
Well, good. Let us stay there for a while. Well, at any rate, I've been at this landscaping nursery business, like I say, 50 years or plus, actually. And it's been a delight. I've learned an amazing amount of things over my years of business and landscaping. And one of the biggest features, of course, besides the materials you sell or the services you sell, are your relationships with your clients. In all those years, and I've done literally, I don't know, maybe 500 or more jobs, I'm not quite sure, but it's always good to people. When they call me and they say, "Yeah, Joe Blow said you did a great job. We want to get a bid from you." And I said, "Okay, great." And you go there and it's real easy to do. And every once in a while, you'll hear some feedback that's not as positive. And right away, I kind of analyze, you know, what did I do and how did I do it and what didn't I do. And oftentimes, it's the homeowner's fault, just to throw it back on the homeowners. But you know, it's I've got a lot of experience, and there are times that my experience wasn't quite enough to handle it. But I had to learn very quickly in that particular situation, especially when doing the large jobs. I did Mercy back in whenever they were built, but sometime in the 70s, I believe. And I had at that time 11 employees, and we were busy for months at Mercy Hospital. But if you've been there and you've driven around through there, all those trees we planted, all those rhododendrons that are 8 and 10 feet tall and wide in the inner court there, we planted. And it's nice to go back there and look and see how everything has matured. And I have to give a lot of credit to the maintenance folks at Mercy for taking such good care of it for all these years. They've done a great job. And Tony Haber was my nemesis up there. Tony, he and I got along great, but he was always there. "Michael, you know, you need to do this. Are you going to do that?" You know, "No, no, yeah, Tony, I will. When the time comes, I'll do exactly that. So don't worry about it." So it's I have, like I say, so much experience in landscape contracting and growing tons and tens of thousands of plants over the years. And the advice I give on my radio show is from real trial and error over those 50 years. And I love questions. I wish I had more people calling with their questions each week, because I love to talk to folks. And any problem you might have in your yard, it's fair game. You tell me what you need, and I can describe several scenarios for you that will alleviate whatever problem you might have, and you go on from there. So I love those questions. You know, just keep calling the show, and any question, like I say, is fair game. And now I one part I kind of skipped over, but it's important on new lawns. New lawns, You want to wait for a little bit drier weather because it gets sloppy. And if it's too sloppy, too wet, and you walk on your newly tilled and leveled area, you're going to put divots and dents into it because just the weight of your body will do that because it's too wet. So if you can step on the lawn and it doesn't sink at all, you're good to go. And you want to have that top of that lawn. When it was kind of dampish and we were doing jobs, but we got all the tilling done, and it rained the night before we're going to seed, we put a little bit of sand on the top, maybe a quarter inch of sand right on the top of the area that we had all fixed up, ready to go, and then seed it, and then cover it with a little bit more sand, and the lawn came up marvelous. I mean, it was gorgeous, it was really, really pretty. But try to, like I say, wait for a little bit drier weather. As we get into April and May and June, those 3 months are premier for lawn work. So is October and some into November. Sometimes September gets a little warm and stays that way for a few weeks. But if you're doing sod, it doesn't matter because it's already rooted and you just prepare the ground and lay it out. But seed's a little bit more temperamental. So you got to play the weather by ear. And like I say, the proper tilling and leveling really makes the job. You have to be meticulous in doing that. And then when you purchase seed and fertilizer, make sure it's top of the line. Don't go with what's on sale, 100 pounds for a dollar or something like that. I don't care what the price is. Get some good, viable seed and good, solid fertilizer that has trace elements in it. And you will have great success. And then when you cover it with like a potting soil mix or something like that from like Magnolia Farms or peat moss, whatever. And you just cover it to keep the birds away and to if the sun does come out and gets a little warm, the seed doesn't dry out because it's covered with a little bit of material. And keep it damp. And if it's not raining, in 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to see the results. And I thank you for listening. See you next week.
All right. The program podcast will be up in a few minutes at 541radio.com. Back next Wednesday at 4, Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. The Afternoon Report is next.